was one thing that I had not seen in the Prophet yet, and I had not evaluated him for that, I had not tested him for that. So I thought that I would test him. I had given him a loan of some dates, and I had got the promise from him that those loans, those dates would be returned at such and such a date, but I went earlier than the due time, and I demanded that he give me the dates at that particular time, and I accused him of trying to wriggle himself out of not paying that debt back. Right in front of everybody, I basically used such words that would have been embarrassing for anyone. So the Prophet ﷺ and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was sitting there, and when he heard this Jewish person being rude to the Prophet ﷺ, he got up and he took his sword out and he said, "Just give me permission, O Prophet of Allah, and I'll finish him right here and now." The Prophet ﷺ told him, "Put your sword away," and he said, "Give him back his and for using these harsh words against him, O Umar, make sure you give him extra so that his feelings are not hurt." And this was enough for the Jewish person. He realized that all of the qualities that he had seen in his scriptures were found in the Prophet ﷺ, and he became Muslim there and then. So these are incidents of the Prophet ﷺ's life that we should take a lesson from. And in our discussions, in our dealings, in our even in our disagreements should be in such a way that we don't hurt anybody's feelings, and we disagree in such a way that our respect for each other and our love for each other is not diminished. Everybody disagrees from time to time. There's nothing wrong with disagreeing, but the way to disagree is something that we need to learn. As they say, agree to disagree. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِيهِ أَحْسَنُ. Tell them, O Prophet of Allah, or tell my slaves, that they should say words that are good. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَنْزَغُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Because the shaytan, he tries to intervene between them, and he tries to make people fight. He tries to make people argue. It's mentioned in a hadith, لَا يُشِيرُكُمْ إِلَىٰ أَخِيهِ بِالصَّلَاحِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَدْرِي أَحَدُكُمْ لَعَلَّ الشَّيْطَانَ أَنْ يَنْزِغَ فِي يَدِهِ فَحُفْرَةٍ مِّنَ النَّارِ. Nobody should point a knife, salah, any weapon, towards his fellow Muslim brother. Okay, so a knife, nowadays a gun, anything should not be pointed at your Muslim brother. The hadith says, because a person doesn't know when the shaitan might try to intervene and push the person and provoke the person into doing something that is inappropriate and land himself into the hellfire by doing that. Okay, so it's Islam is a preventative religion. It makes us stop short of doing things way before they become a problem. And this is one thing that indicate that we should not even point a weapon at somebody, let alone take the weapon out. Okay, so this is one thing. And in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Al-Muslimu akhul Muslim la yadhlimuhu wa la yakhdhiluhu at-taqwa hahuna." And the hadith goes on to say, "Waqala biyadihi ila sadri," and he pointed to his chest. A Muslim is the brother of a Muslim. He doesn't oppress him and he doesn't disgrace him. The taqwa is here. Taqwa is in the heart. Prophet ﷺ mentioned it, but the point is that a Muslim should never disgrace any other Muslim. He should not insult him in any way, shape, or form. And then the ayah goes on to say, "Inna shaytana kana lil insani aduwwan mubina." Indeed, the shaytan for the human being is an open and clear enemy. So obviously, the shaytan is going to try to work his tricks into relationships between a husband and wife, between brothers in a community, and create rifts and create difficulties, create arguments. Remember that whenever arguments and disputes take place in any society or in any family, the khair and goodness is removed from that society. Remember the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that he was actually seeking Laylatul Qadr and he was making i'tikaf for Laylatul Qadr to find out when Laylatul Qadr, and he emerged in which he was making i'tikaf, and he saw two people arguing, two people fighting with each other, and the information that he had for Laylatul Qadr was removed from him. So just imagine, because of two people arguing, we've been deprived of the knowledge of Laylatul Qadr until the Day of Judgment. Just imagine that. So this is the result of a disagreement taking place between two people, people arguing and insulting. We have lost the knowledge. So just imagine the fights that take place in communities, lawsuits that take place, and disagreements that take place, and the police are called in, and so many problems that occur within communities. How much khair and goodness is that community being deprived of? That is something that we should think about. Next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ إِن يَشَاءَ يَرْحَمْكُمْ أَوْ إِن يَشَاءَ يُعَذِّبُكُمْ. Your Lord is more knowledgeable about you. This ayah is actually connected with an ayah that came before. In last week's lesson, we learnt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَسْتَمِعُونَ بِهِ إِذْ يَسْتَمِعُونَ إِلَيْكَ. We are more knowledgeable about listening to when they are listening to you. Remember, in the last week's lesson, we heard that some disbelievers, they used to come and secretly listen to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam while he's reciting Quran in Qiyamul Layl. So connected to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ. Your Lord has more knowledge about you. And here Allah is saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the knowledge as to who deserves His guidance more and who doesn't deserve the guidance. Meaning, those people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them guidance, those people that don't want guidance, they don't seek guidance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to give them guidance. This is what it's referring to. So Allah says, رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ. And here Allah is, through the wording, He is indicating His closeness to us. رَبُّكُمْ, He's your Lord. So whenever, in any relationship, right? Say a father-son relationship, the father, he has knowledge about the son and what kind of habits he has, what kind of attitude he has, and how, what he likes, what he dislikes, what he eats, what he doesn't eat. So the father for the child. So here Allah is using the word رَبُّكُمْ to indicate His closeness to us. That your Lord, He has more knowledge about you. After all, He is your creator. He is your sustainer. He is your provider. He knows every single thing about you. He knows everything that you like and you dislike, and what is in your heart and what you're thinking. And you basically will probably know less about yourself than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ. Your Lord, He has more knowledge about you. إِن يَشَاءَ يَرْحَمُكُمْ. If He wanted, He would have mercy upon you by giving you hidayah. Okay? And if He wanted, He could punish you by not giving you hidayah, by not giving you guidance. Okay? So this giving guidance and not giving guidance, it's not in the wording, but the Mufassireen have said that this is what is meant. The wording is, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, He would give you mercy, and if He wanted, He would punish you. So giving mercy by giving guidance and depriving you of guidance is وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَكِيلًا. O Prophet of Allah, you've not been sent as with them. Wakil in Arabic is somebody that you give responsibility to and you give power of attorney to. And basically, a person who's been given responsibility. So the Prophet ﷺ was simply sent as a person to warn and to give good tidings. Just give the message. Okay? But the Prophet, he used to take things very, very seriously, and he used to become upset when people didn't used to accept Islam. And there are many instances in the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoles him. In Surah, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you would destroy yourself in pursuing them because of the fact that they're not becoming Muslim. And this has been mentioned in a few places in the Quran. So here Allah says again, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ وَكِيلًا. O Prophet of Allah, you've not been sent to become a wakil and to basically be upon them and on their heads until they become Muslim. Your responsibility is only to give the message. Whether they accept or don't accept, that is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. وَرَبُّكَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And your Lord, He has more knowledge of who is in the heavens and the earth. And again, this is related to that again, who is deserving of hidayat and who is not deserving of hidayah. وَلَقَدْ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَ النَّبِيِّينَ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ وَآتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ زَبُورًا. Indeed, we gave some prophets a status over the others, and we gave Dawood alayhi salam the Zabur. We gave him the Psalms. Okay, so here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the different statuses of the prophets. Okay, now there's one ayah in the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ. We don't differentiate between the prophets. Okay, and in a hadith, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that do not differentiate between the prophets. The hadith is, trying to look for it, I came across it earlier. لَا تُفَضِّلُوا بَيْنَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. Do not give fadl between the prophets alayhi salatu wasalam. So what does that mean? Firstly, the ayah, لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ, means that we don't differentiate between them in iman. We have iman in all of them equally and without any difference. Just like we have iman in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have iman in Isa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, Adam alayhi salam, and so on. All prophets, we have iman in them equally. لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ. But as for their status, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. The prophets, we have given one status over the other. They have different statuses. Okay, now who are the best of the prophets? The best of the prophets are Ulul Azmi min al-Rusul. Ulul Azmi min al-Rusul, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described in Surah Al-Ahzab. من النبيين ميثاقهم ومنك ومن نوح وإبراهيم وموسى وعيسى بن مريم. Beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, first and foremost, Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, and Isa alayhi salam. These were all ulul azmi min ar-rusul. These were the highest of the prophets. These were the ones that had the biggest conviction, the best of intentions. They had the best of convictions in terms of their status. And also in Surah Shura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the same prophets. Now, amongst those prophets, ulul azmi min ar-rusul, there's no dispute amongst the scholars that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the best of the prophets in his status. In his status. And now the question is, what does the hadith mean in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that do not la tufaddilu bayna al-anbiya? What that means is that do not give priority or status to the prophets based simply on the fact that you like one prophet over the other, meaning without any proof. Okay, so for example, a Christian says that no, Isa alayhi salam is the best prophet simply because of the fact that he is the one that he follows. Or a Jewish person, he says simply that Musa alayhi salam is the best prophet based simply upon the fact that it's his prophet that he is following. Okay, this giving priority or giving a status is based upon what's known in Arabic as asabiyya. Okay, simply for the fact that you dislike any other prophet, so you give that prophet a status. Obviously, we love our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the most, but all the proofs indicate that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the highest because he led all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam on Laylatul Mi'raj, and many, many other proofs that indicate that he was the best of the prophets. So Allah says, وَلَقَدْ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَ النَّبِيِّينَ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ وَآتَيْنَا دَاوُدَ زَبُورًا. Specifically, Dawood alayhi salam is mentioned for the fact that he was given Zabur. Dawood alayhi salam was famous for his recitation, and the fact that it is mentioned that his voice was so sweet that the birds, they used to come and listen to his recitation of the Zabur. And some of the Sahaba that had the best of the voices when they recited Quran, the Prophet ﷺ used to say to them, "Utita mazamira Dawood." You've been given from the instruments of Dawood ﷺ in the beauty of your voice. So Dawood ﷺ was famous for that. So he's mentioned specifically in this ayah. Inshallah, we're going to stop over here, and we will carry on next week. A couple of ayahs, they're quite lengthy and they require a lot of detail. Inshallah, we'll go into the next week. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand what has been said and heard. Salam, sakiba khair sir. Kaise bhi the? Sakla khair. Assalamu alaikum. Kaise hain sir? Kaise bhi the? Amen.